Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work? With strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The big ones!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is The Big Ones. Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The problems can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see?
Michael Carmen.
I don't know. I don't ask myself that a lot.
That's what we do on the show is we make you look at things that you would never have looked at before.
I think that's important.
So you guys, there's a history here that the listeners need to know. Michael, Amanda, and I met, I don't know, what was it, 10 years ago?
11? I think more. Go back further and further and further.
No, like 20 years?
20, 30 years or so, I'd say, at most.
This must have been coming like 12 to 12, at least 12.
Okay.
And we met, what, you know what's the craziest thing? And I know we talk about this story all the time. Okay, but when I was living, when Amanda and I were going to LMU, Loyola Marymount University, I had my roommates, we lived off campus, not with Amanda, I lived off campus junior year. And I had my two roommates, but then we needed a fourth roommate because we were living at the Archstone and it was a pretty pricey place. Amanda, I don't know if you had on-campus housing, but we were not offered on-campus housing that year.
I don't acknowledge that year because I was not in school at that time.
Where were you?
So your life is a puzzle to me. I was living in Japan at that time.
No, this was before. No, you're right. It was junior year and you were.
Because I don't acknowledge that you lived off campus without me.
Okay, well, I did. Well, I did. And so we needed a fourth roommate. And so as we did in 2007, we went on Craigslist and we said, we need a roommate. And a girl named Courtney became our roommate. And she was a wonderful, fun. And it was literally like Craigslist ad was like, and this girl, Courtney, was like, I'll be your roommate. I was like, great. So then I didn't really know Courtney. And one night, I was on the couch by myself and I was on my little MIDI keyboard and I was like playing some songs. And then I was also watching cat videos, like cat blooper videos. And I was laughing so hard at them that I was, and by myself, and Courtney came in with this friend of hers. And her friend and Courtney were looking at me like, are you okay? And I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's a cat blooper reel. And it was like cats. Like lots of different cats, Amanda. Let's just go forward 4 years, okay?
But just to
Michael,
date
do you
it,
want to say
this
something?
Was yeah. Before cat videos were big.
Thank you. That's very fair to say that this was maybe a first cat blooper. Imagine the first cat blooper YouTube video you ever seen, Amanda.
This was ahead of its time in terms of your appreciation for cat videos.
Okay, but this is, I'm getting confused, and I know we're going to speed through this. I mean, I hope we are, but
There's so much more here, but keep going.
Because this is not, if this is somehow leading to how I know that we met Michael, this, I did not know.
Well, this
the
is my party. You
can,
you're free to give your side of the story whenever you want.
Well, we don't have, neither of us were
yeah,
there.
I don't have, let me know when I come
By
in.
By the way, neither of you are in any of this. Neither of you are in any of this.
This is just her excuse to say she discovered cat videos.
Well, she did, and I needed to mention it. But also, Amanda needs to, you need to answer if you even want this part of the missing puzzle, because you said this is a missing piece.
That's right.
Me.
This and is going like, to change your whole narrative.
A bit, maybe. We wait for it. Maybe.
Well, like I said, I don't recognize this period in Maria's life, and so this is meaningless to me.
And neither do I, and it's meaningless to me too. So I guess we're in the same boat on that. On that ocean. Anyway.
Okay, so cut forward however
many years.
So
let's go forward 4 years later, right? And Amanda and I are asked to do on-set voices for the Chipmunks in Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeak Wheel, no big deal.
Stand-ins for the Chipmunks and the Chipettes. It was the job of a lifetime. It was our big break into Hollywood. And it was Maria and I and our entire all-girls improv team, the Dollhouse.
You guys were great, but I'm so sorry.
No, well, it was basically they would hold a tennis ball up on a stick, and then Amanda and I would be kind of off center from that tennis ball, and then Zachary Levi would be talking to the tennis ball, and then we'd be going, "Oh no, Dave," you know, like stuff like that.
Oh, hi, Dave.
You're and selling then yourself short here. That they were improvising on the spot at times, and also just supplying the emotion for Jason Lee for a second, and then he got knocked out of there, and Zach came in, and you guys are great.
And by the way, the PA hated me. The PA, I was late a lot. I hadn't learned my lesson yet about punctuality, and she did tell me, with behavior like this, you will not get invited to the rap party.
Because that's all she had to hold over you. There was really no.
And boy, did that wake me up. Boy, did that hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, well, golly, time to get in shape, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't think this is what we're getting into today. But to be fair, you know, and I love this, but first, maybe a tennis ball. Then, no tennis ball was in the shot for the Chipmunks. Then, what? It's like a matte ball to cast shadows, then a silver ball to cast lights. So that's just a really fun process over and over again. And you guys were off screen or like, I remember very sweetly, like back.
We were usually up on some sort of pedestal in a corner.
In a corner with a curtain behind it. And just blocking the sound. And so much more important than the location. And that's what we don't give a lot.
Needless
to
say, we were not liked on set. I remember us taking director's chairs and sitting in them.
Because we didn't know. No one knew if we were cast or crew. No, this job was unprecedented. Right. And so we would like every once in a while, when we didn't know, wander over and sit in a director's chair and then we'd get scolded.
But they should have like etiquette. You know, they need a class for like, hey, champ, it's your first time on set. I remember my time. They don't tell you like you're treated like a child. So you can't touch your clothes. They'll put them on you. That you can't walk anywhere alone. I remember the sound guy on Pretty Little Liars was talking about how he plays his instruments with the other sound techs and crew during breaks. I was like, oh, my God, I brought my ukulele in the thing. I'll go get it. And they're like, no, where are you going? And I was like, I was just going to get something really quick. They're like, I'll get it for you. What do you need? I was like, please don't get it. It's not important enough. And they're like, no, what
Here's
is
your
it?
Your ukulele,
I was
sir.
Like, yeah, I was like, I you don't need to get
you
it.
You just
but
wanted
it was
to play
ukulele.
With the boys. You
and
just wanted to play with the
it.
Boys.
Yeah, I didn't get invited back for a while, and I get for a lot of reasons. But I think the ukulele thing was one of them because I didn't prioritize. It was like, just shut up. People just want you to shut up and do your part and hide. Bring an Apple box if you need to, your own. Don't borrow someone. But they should like welcome you.
Right. Well, we had the best time. And okay, so what happened
everyone
was
hated
we were
us.
Like,
we had the best time.
No, here's the thing. We didn't make friends. We made friends with like the direct, we made friends with like people. The PA didn't like me, is what I'm trying to say. And that's like the big thing. Anyway, how this all relates back to my story is Vanessa, your sister, Bagdasarian, your family created the chipmunks. Your grandfather was, for all intents and purposes, Dave.
Yeah, Dave Seville, because that's no right. one could pronounce Ross Bagdasarian, and no one cared to at the time. right. But yeah, so he's like, Dave, how about David Seville? Can we go with that? And they're like, sure, sure.
They said, hell yes, let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
And so we became, so then Vanessa came up to me one day and was like, hi, I don't know if you remember me. I was at your apartment once. And I was like, you were? And she was like, my good friend Courtney lived with you. And I came over to your apartment one day and you were laughing hysterically at cats. And you were just like laughing and laughing. And I was like, oh my God. So we had, it was crazy. Worlds collided. Worlds collided. And that's wow. how my story ends.
Yes. And so Maria and I ingratiated ourselves in with the family. And that's why we're still in touch with Michael to this day.
Yeah. We just get kept in touch to this day. And I look upon you and your family every day on Instagram. And I think to myself, what a life. What a world. My God, that family is a beautiful family.
Mm-hmm. We're tucked away. We work seven yeah. days a week here. We only see each other. We have no reference to anything anymore, and haven't for years. So it's.
But you guys are wonderful. You all are very wonderful,
warm people.
Very warm, a warm family.
Do you have something that's present in your mind right now? Any little big one that you would that you'd like to bring to the table?
You know, again, as a fan, it's weird being in this position and taking up your guys' time with this. And I was like racking my brain. And I'm just going to go with a little big one that I have that, again, I'm doing well. This is a little
Great.
Big one. This is not a big problem.
Yes, good.
Relatively, I'm doing okay. I should mention that.
Yes.
This is a little big one.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So... And it's during this time especially, but it also goes pre-COVID and pre-quarantining. But especially right now, I find when people just casually mention like, hey, how's it going? How do you want me to answer that? Because right. I'm looking around and it's not going well. And again, people are going like, how you doing? And it's like, you know, honestly... I've stopped asking myself that question. I'm pretty anxious. I'm really worried for not everything going on health-wise, but economically and environmentally and politically and in every stage. And again, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of good things happening. But it's like, if I'm answering honestly, pretty anxious right. and a little worried for people. And then it gets into this paragraph of like, people ask, how are you? And then I'm responding with two paragraphs of like, well, given the issue today. And so I stopped asking myself how I'm doing. And I started asking myself, like, what am I grateful for today? Or like, what am I grateful for in general? Because that I can control. The other answer is like, what's my mental health like? Probably pretty anxious.
Yeah.
If I'm looking around at what my friends and what the state and what the world is going through, it's hard. And again, relatively very lucky. I've been socially distanced for years. I've quarantined myself off from the world for a decade.
Right.
I get to live and work 7 days a week, gratefully, in this little compound. So if they're asking like, hey, are you lucky? I'd be like, you bet. But if the answer is, how are you doing? It's like, boy, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
So I guess to paraphrase, the little big one is, do you just say, doing good, thanks, man. How are you? Wow, what a time, huh? Or do you like just acknowledge everything going on and honor and answer truthfully?
This is a great question, especially now, but I think you're right when you say like this dilemma precedes quarantine as well. Like this is could be
before I was annoyed. Before I was like, I'm a lot of things. Yeah, it depends
yeah.
on my
mood. Do
you
really want to know?
Like, I don't know if I can. Yeah. Are you just, is that a formality, man? But now it's like,
and I think it is a formality in a lot of ways. It's like a, hey, how are you? Is a lot of us saying like, hi, like that's how we say hi.
Well, you know I think I mean? It's case by case. I really think it depends on the situation. So, like, if I'm, you know, on a conference call and someone I don't know that well is like, hey, Amanda, how are you? This is my response.
Oh, well, let's go. Hold on, Pete.
Yeah. Normally, I'm just like, I'm great, thanks, no matter what's going on in my life. But now, because, you know, 2020, with everything going on in the world, there's just a base level of existential dread that we all share.
Yeah.
And so I do the kind of like, oh, you know, can't complain. That's where I'm at, because I don't want the other That's thing good. Is I don't want to get into like a political conversation or like a coronavirus conversation, which unfortunately is a political conversation with someone I don't know that well. That's just how I function as an introvert. Like, I want to save that conversation for like just people who the one person who
Your
I live
doctors.
With. My doctors, my mental health professionals, and my husband. But so I don't like engaging Good in that way, not. Really. But if you do and you feel like it's cathartic for you to talk to someone, I think it's actually like okay to, depending on their sort of energetic boundaries, I think it's okay for, if you want to like go there, because we are living through hell.
But it's a message, so you can't gauge what they're doing. And it's like, it is. It's like the place is on fire, and they're like, hey, man, how you doing? It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not personally on fire.
And you know what I think, Michael? I think that part of you, and I feel this too, feels like weird if you're like, just say, I'm good. Because then you're like, oh, am I not acknowledging all the crazy pain and suffering happening in the world? But I think right now everyone understands, like, we acknowledge what is going on. We don't even
I
have to say it.
I think it also comes in the tone. Because, like, I can go, oh, I'm fine. And then someone will laugh. And then I'll be like, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. Because I'm saying I'm fine, but I'm saying it in a tone that's like, but I'm a little worn out. And so I think...
So on text, do you just add more O's? Do you be like, I'm good, exclaimed O's, uncapitaled O's?
Yeah. An emoji.
That you write sarcastically?
Yeah, I think I might do an emoji, like a what I'll say is, yeah. Oh, I'm great, and then a coffin emoji. You know?
There you go.
Oh, that's great. That's
I
gotta
love
use
that,
that.
Coffin
emoji.
I love the coffin that. Emoji. It's
yes,
so
you
fun.
Do.
I do the slapped face, head in the hand.
I do the shrugging woman.
I do too.
I have a question for Maria.
Yeah.
Maria, when someone asks you how you are, do you ever get like real with them, like how Michael says he does? Like, do you ever say, like, to be honest, I'm not doing great today? You would never, right?
No, but
I would never, probably.
No, but I will.
I don't make it personal.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sometimes I'll hint at it.
Just to clarify.
I'll sometimes hint at it.
I want Maria to answer.
I'll sometimes hint at it. I'll go like, I'll be like, oh, you know, I'm hitting the edge, you know, in a fun way.
Yeah, you and then... do that. Or you'll, because like, you'll sometimes say like, oh, I feel like I could like punch through a wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll do something like, oh, I'm just banging my
That's
head against
clear.
A wall. And if no one presses me on it, then I'm not going to go any further. But, you know, then sometimes... Someone will be like, you know who actually like calls me on it is Nilo. Our friend Nilo will be like, well, let me call you later. Like, that's what she'll say. But she's the only one that like goes further with it. Everyone else is like, Maria. And I'm like, okay, well, I tried.
It does kind of set a good starting point, though, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm willing to do whatever, but I'm also banging my head against the wall. What's going on? What do you need?
Exactly.
And just to clarify... And hopefully it has, but like, I don't like get into it with people in terms of like when they're like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I tell you what, I'm not feeling great today. I don't want to like, I love hearing people's problems. I don't want anyone to hear my problems. I don't want anyone to know what's going on with, I don't want anyone to be burdened. It's like super duper, you know, I'm fine. I'm also very, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. But I'm also, you know, you can't be looking around and aware to what's going on without being a little devastated at times or frustrated or scared or, you know, without feeling a whole bunch of things for everyone going through every different thing, because this is, we're getting hit in so many different ways, from health to anti-health to people's financial situation to what we're experiencing just on a real upheaval, hopefully, of certain processes and what people have going through and finally recognizing what people have been going through. So a lot of really hopeful things, a lot of amazing things, but it's like, you know what? I'm doing a lot of things. And I don't, I don't make it personal, but I do, I'm really lucky and aware of that. And before what was considered like, oh, what a hermit. That guy never leaves, you know, his place and he's always working. It's like, yeah, now that's kind of the system. I can guide others through it.
Yeah.
But if you're lucky enough to be going through that, we don't even know if people are, you know, that's even a better place to be at than a lot of people right now. So it's hard to, you can, and this sounds a little weird, but just in its own little scientific-y buzz, which is the term that scientists use, you can feel, you can be having your own vibration. But then in the larger sea of things, it's like, I can't not feel what other people are feeling. And that's a different vibration. And so it's like, I'm getting jerked around a bit from everything else, but internally, like, everything's good.
Yeah, I see.
And so it's just how far do you let the question go?
We're all in the same ocean, and boy, oh boy, are those waves crashing hard against the shore.
Ooh, Amanda.
And very different boats. And I loved that.
That was
so,
I was there with you as you said that.
Yeah, do you feel
it? Vibrations. Yes. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, I like what's going on here. but there is a thing of some people are on dinghies, some people are on lifeboats, and some people are on a little cutout door with their frozen lover. It's like,
that's
fuck,
Amanda.
Do we have boats? Can we help them?
And some people are stuck on cruise ships.
And that's
literally out in the sea. Stuck on cruise ships.
That sounds rough.
Yeah.
I don't trust cruise ships too, but maybe that's the
I hope that helped, Michael, because I get it. And that makes, you know, it is a.
What's your answer quickly? Just don't say
I know.
It. What would you do?
I go, we do
How
the.
Are you?
Oh, God, you know, I'm okay. Hanging in there. How are you?
Perfect.
Yeah. It's about just tonally making note of the absurdity of it all, but saying let's laugh at it and let's move on.
Unless you want to go there with that person and you like want to take a half hour and go there and like have you both have a cathartic, you know, let's talk about all this stuff.
I don't a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I also want to let them know like I'm aware and like it's just a. Yeah, as you mentioned, a big thing is about who are you answering to.
Yeah, but feel free to use my ocean metaphor.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that's a coffee mug or a coaster.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
For the Erios Network advertising.
That would be great. I don't remember what
bags.
I said, but we'll have to rewind the tapes and
I
pull
don't,
that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Pull that quote.
The worst thing you can say is, do you really want to know?
Ew. And then I go, no thanks. Let's check in later.
Oh, no, God.
And maybe that's the perfect response because then it just shuts everything down.
Well, no, because they'll say like, oh, yeah, I mean, and then you'll have to get into it.
No. Yeah, no.
So, Michael, can you just because you're the voice of reason here, tell people that they need to join our Patreon and they need to subscribe, rate, and review?
Right. And again, as we found with everything going on, there are so many aspects to this thing. If this is your first time listening to The Big Ones, it shouldn't be. Listen to a different episode. maybe one with Paul F. Tompkins. I love the Back to the Future one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of regular guests, and they're great. We don't know about this one. It's still playing out. I would stop and watch a different episode if this is your first time. But still, rate this 5 stars and review it, because that's incredibly helpful. If you have listened to multiple shows and you haven't rated and reviewed, then that's a much bigger dilemma because you're obviously enjoying this. You get what the gift is that you're being given. Mm-hmm. And the very least that you can do is spend, and I time this thing out. It's 30 seconds. It's a minute. You can do it right now as I'm talking. That would be great. 5-star review, nothing lower. If you have an issue, email me.
Yes,
don't leave it in the reviews. And then let's say, now we're talking about the Patreon folks. If you're already doing that, great. Fast forward 15 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever. If you haven't, and you financially can't, because, again, a lot going on. If you financially can, again, what are you doing? If you even already have a Patreon account, then you have no excuse. Just come on, help, do it right now.
It's a dollar. A little is a dollar.
If financially...
It's a dollar.
I think it's three. I think it might be three.
Maria, were you able to change it?
I got an email that someone said that they would offer to help change it. I have to email them back. But
I think I looked, and I think it's $3.
Is it really?
For three per month. And you get two episodes. I don't know. But three per month is what I saw.
Okay.
I don't know. But let's say financially you're like, I can't right now. I totally understand that. And I will sponsor one fan for a year.
Oh, my God. Listen to that.
On Patreon. I'm not going to use my credit card. They're going to have to do that. But I will Venmo Maria... And then Maria will Venmo the person
whoa.
Who...
Whoa. So how do we find out who that's going to be?
Somewhere. I think it should be someone worthy who really wants it, who could use it, and who's like, I'm not getting enough big ones, and that would really help me during this time.
Oh, yes. Write in with your, whatever, your anecdote. Tell us a little bit about you. ASL. Yeah.
I can't pick, but they'll pick, and... you'll get a year to
God. I feel like
enjoy everything that has.
I just
to
got
offer.
Chills. I feel like the bucket list family right now.
I know. Oh my God! Wow, that is so nice.
But someone, yeah. So if that's been your issue this whole time, problem solved.
That is so. Well, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. This is. I feel like we won the lottery. Someone here has won the lottery, and they don't even know it yet.
A scratch off for sure. A solid, solid scratch.
I love scratchers.
I've done the math.
Michael, you went above and beyond.
Yeah, you really did. That's no one's ever done something like that. And that's, well, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do the big, big one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're back.
So I have a big, big one. And it's from a movie, as many of them are these days. I'm going to read it to you. And I wonder if you, Maria, you know what it is. But Mike, I wonder if you'll be able to figure out what the movie is.
And it's from a listener, right? I sent it to you from a listener. Does it say the listener's name on there?
Oh, let me see. Because you know what, Maria? We have been toying with doing this one since we started this last season. So I even had it already typed up. So I tweaked it a little bit from the listener description. But I don't know if the listener's name
we'll
is on
we'll read it,
this.
And then I'll just say the listener's name just so they know that we know that they heard their voices.
Yeah, so I don't have the listener's name. So if you want to look that up. Okay, you are a sexy historian named Ben Gates who has been searching your whole life for a rumored treasure dating back to the creation of the United States. The founding fathers hid clues to the treasure's whereabouts all over the place. The latest clue is hidden on the back of the Declaration of Independence. In order to get the clue, you must steal the Declaration of Independence. Morally, you know it's wrong to defile the sacred text, but with a rival treasure hunter hot on your trail, you must decide. Would you steal the Declaration of Independence to find a hidden treasure?
And this was written in by Danny. Our listener Danny wrote in with this, and I think this is from the hit movie. Do you know what
Indiana
hit movie
Jones.
This is, Michael?
National Treasure, starring the star Nick Cage.
That's right.
Of course, and timely too. Yikes! Wow, here we go.
Exactly. It's all about national landmarks and barging in when no one's invited you.
Well, listen, I think, you know, I have to say with the storming of the Capitol, I now feel more protective over our national landmarks than I ever did before. And I feel like that's going to influence, like, at least where I start off on, which is like, I'm out of this rat race. I don't want to be like in this dangerous treasure hunt where I have to put people at risk to steal the Declaration of Independence. That's just where I'm at today.
Is there more to the treasure than just treasure, though? Is there like something where it's going to like help people?
I believe he's like has to do it because to save his father's life in the movie. Something like that. There's something like that. But I feel like that makes it too easy, right?
Yeah.
So are we saying it's just a treasure? It's like, hey, there's a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence. Or is there something else? Because if that's the case, then automatically I'm going, well, leave the treasure be. But I believe there was something in it where it was like, because here's the thing. What's her face? The German actress. What's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Helga? You know. No, what's her name? Her name is the one that was in Inglorious Bastards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Diane Kruger.
Because she's all against him stealing the Declaration of Independence until she learns something, and then she's like, I'll help you.
Was it that the bad guy was really bad?
Yes. So I understand, but I don't want to get into all the fine plot points of National Treasure.
Fair,
but
fair.
I think that the twist in this one is if you don't steal it, some nasty man is going to.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Oh, wow.
And that nasty man is Justin Bartha, right?
I don't know.
No, I think isn't he on?
Yeah, he's on the team.
Be.
Oh boy, is he on the team?
He doesn't feel like an antagonist.
He's on the team.
But I'm dying to know, where are you two at off the bat? Like first instincts, are you stealing the Declaration of Independence?
Well, here my first instinct is no, let the treasure be. But if there's a bad guy that's also going to get it and use it for harm, and I know that I'm like the foremost, like I have some credibility in this, right? Because like Nicolas Cage's character in the movie is like, you know, into history and treasures and national treasures and stuff.
Maybe it's a weapon.
Exactly. It's basically like
maybe
saving a weapon.
Maybe one of the treasures.
And you have an in.
Gets in the wrong
You have
hand.
Some sort of in where you're going, okay, I have the ability to save this and to save basically American, the freedom of America, then I would have to do something about it.
That's really noble though too, because the bad
Michael,
guys.
How about
what about you?
You,
Michael?
I think there are so many, nothing's really clear cut. There are a lot of questions that should be asked, and each big one deserves a lot of big questions. And I'm not sure if I can, like, take a picture of the Declaration. I'm guessing I can't. Because, can I just take some pictures of it and then leave it where it is? Do I
you
have to take
steal
it?
Steal it. The bad guys are going to steal it if you don't steal it.
Okay. Second question. Can I talk to, maybe I have a buddy who's, somewhere in the, you know what I mean? When people say, this goes all the way up to the top. Maybe I know someone along that way who I can be like, hey, bad guys taking the thing. I might know how
can
to
someone
do
get
this,
lunatic
get
out of my
house.
Office?
Yeah,
who's this crazy man talking
okay.
about a treasure map?
Then you steal it. Then you go, you left me no choice. I tried.
Okay.
And that's an important scene, I think. I try to do things the normal way. You call me crazy.
Okay.
Now I got
it. Why don't
break
we try? Why don't we hear
it.
That scene? Okay, so Michael, do you want to be the treasure hunter trying to explain why you need access to the Declaration of Independence?
I'll try.
And then maybe Amanda and I are the higher-ups that are kind of guarding it, okay? So we're basically...
But I knew one of... I have some sort of... Because I hope... I was like, oh, we went to school together at the College of Government.
Yeah. Me and you have a history of we went to college together, and Amanda's character is more like the meat and bones. She's more
got
guarding
it.
I'm
convince.
The meat and bones Fair. Guy. I got it.
Okay.
Hey, Johnny, great to see you. What are you doing at the Declaration Hall?
Hey, man, how are you? How the heck
are you?
Hey, champ? Sir, how did you get clearance? Did you, do you know this guy? Is he okay?
Oh, shoot.
It's cool. We went to college together.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Hey, great to meet you. I'm Stan.
And I just gotta say, great to meet you. Really a pleasure and privilege. And I know you guys are busy and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I gotta say, and this is, you know, again, I don't think there's a good way to bring this up, but I'm just going to lay it out. I'm going to lay the information out on you. I've been doing some digging. I don't know if you... We always talked about... Remember, I was studying the Bermuda Triangle, and I was studying the Founding Fathers, and I was studying...
Oh, is this the guy? Is this the treasure guy? The lunatic treasure hunter?
I never said lunatic. I never said lunatic, Johnny. Don't you listen to this guy. He's meat and bones.
Find any treasure lately?
Actually, and you're gonna, okay, and I think you're gonna laugh, but I think the treasure map is on the Declaration of Independence, and I have proof. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it.
Well, next time I go down there, next time I go down there, we'll take a look at it. We'll take a look at it, right, Stan?
Hear me out.
Okay, you know, we gotta get to our lunch now. Why don't we? Hey, have you gone to the West Hall? And there's some other great picture oil paintings.
I totally get
there
it. You're in danger, bad guys. Do you know what bad guys are? Because they're coming.
What's going on? Hold on, Stan. Stan, he seems upset. Hold on.
Get him out of here. This guy's unhinged.
Hold on,
fair
let
enough.
Him talk.
Stan, I just want to say, I get it. Stan, I get it. You're a responsible, hardworking American.
No, what do you, Johnny, what do you want,
it,
man?
And I respect
what
it.
Do you want? What are you doing
bad,
here?
Look, people are coming after it, and I honestly don't
people
know
are, are you threatening us? Are you threatening us?
No,
security.
I wish I was.
Security.
I wish I was, but I'm not.
I don't know him.
Fair. You know what? That's fair.
Scene. You're dead meat.
You're dead meat.
Not getting... And in fact, you just, by asking for permission, this is where I think that's a mistake. Asking for permission, you're making it worse.
Yeah. You're dead meat.
But I'm just asking an old friend who hopefully isn't necessarily the guy watching it. And maybe
you got meat
is.
And bones in there too. So.
But then I also feel like I feel like I've done my part. And I feel like
that's
in a way
it?
Like, ah, yikes. No, I'm still going to have to try to steal it. But now I've said also like, guys, your life is in danger, and I understand why they'd laugh. And if Stan had let me finish, I would try to relate with him more. But I understand.
No, because you were trying to smooth talk in a situation where there was no smooth talking.
I wasn't trying to smooth talk. I was literally screaming, bad guys, bad guys, bad guys are coming. So I feel like that's the opposite of smooth. I feel like that's so red alert. Like I started off trying to be like, hey, I'm a normal person too. I get it, and I get that what I'm asking for is weird. And then as I wasn't being heard, and it was like, yikes, you know what? I have less time here than I thought. Bad guys. Does that ring a bell? And it didn't. And so then it was like, I didn't give you all the information, but I did let you know bad guys are coming. So now, unfortunately, something bad could happen, and I did warn you.
I'm sorry, but I think, you know, I get it. It's like a huge circumstance to put yourself in. But if I'm this historian, this like guy that understands what all this stuff means, I have information that says that this is going to be stolen and that bad guys are going to use it for evil against America and no one will listen to me. I have to go save the Declaration of Independence by stealing it.
Okay, and that is very noble. You're adding a little bit of flourish there with the whole bad guys are going to do something bad against America. That actually isn't part of the dilemma. It's just someone else is going to steal it and find the treasure. We're not specifying.
Yeah, but it's America's property.
Okay. I know. Okay, that's fair. But I think I'm coming around to your guys' side because I'm thinking that I trust myself. I'm a historian. I know I'm going to protect this to the best of my ability and then eventually put it back, hoping that security learns a lesson and that they will up their protection of this sacred document. So I think, you know, if it's me or the other guy, you know, I'm going to be the one to do it because that other guy doesn't know how to protect the papers.
What do you mean protect the papers?
Because they're old.
I don't know enough.
That's right. I mean, when it comes down to it, you're going to wear gloves and he's not. You know what I mean?
Do we know that? See, I don't feel like I know enough. I don't remember this movie enough to... Because I feel like I could have given it a better chance. If I was Nicolas Cage, I'd be like, evidence number one, evidence number two.
So you're
fact
saying you could have in act one.
I didn't
one,
have
you
any of that. I was just like, hey.
You could have squashed this in act one and just been like, there's people coming. Can you protect it? Can someone, can you put an extra guard on the declaration?
Call the FBI. Yeah. A really important thing too, I think, is where is the treasure? If it's on United States government soil, yeah, they earn it. If it's outside of the United States, I don't think I'm allowed to touch it. If it's on a reservation, I'm not allowed to touch it.
I see what you're saying,
and I shouldn't. So it's like, hey, I would present, somewhere. I would come to them
it's
and
underground.
Say, right. But where, you know, so just a lot of
you guys, you're beating around the bush here. You are the sole you're the sole person that can protect the Declaration of Independence, and you're blowing it. You're blowing it.
I think we just want to make sure that that was the case. If that is
it's
the case, then I think
Michael.
We're all in alignment. We take it.
Okay,
then we
the,
ta- then
the
we
other
protect
thing
it.
Is, you guys, is that we have been working our whole life to finding this treasure, and our it's like a whole family
wow.
situation. So this is not only
right.
it's meaningful to us, you know, and did we think we'd end up here? No. But now we're here.
But are we a little glad that we are? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think we're having a little bit of it's fun trying to steal the Declaration of Independence.
I think that changes it.
Yeah.
I think that changes it for me. I think this is a me problem, not an us problem. And it's like, you know what? This is something I need to get over. This is my ego and maybe my family's ego in getting this treasure. I love that it exists. Maybe your dad's called Kooky. And so you're trying to prove that he's not. I don't remember.
That's in the second one, because in the second one, he has to prove that his family isn't related to John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I think that's what
I
it is.
I think you're right. That sounds familiar.
He's just going around talking to people saying, no, I promise I'm not.
I think
I
it's like the most shameful thing to his character to like be related to the guy that shot Lincoln. And he's like, we got to squash this.
Man, that sequel took because a turn. I did not
see
it going
there. The other thing
to
remember, too, because part of me is like, well, it's disrespectful to the sacred document to steal it. But at the same time, this wonderful treasure you're going to unearth could add and enhance American history. And so those are, with that being the dilemma, I'm like, I've got to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Especially if the sacred document could be damaged by the next person and you're protecting.
Can I just say this? Because I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page. I just want to let you know what's at risk here. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
In 18... Basically, there's a fabled treasure taken from ancient empires throughout history that was discovered by the Knights Templar and later protected by the Freemasons. Ooh. The treasure would eventually be hidden by America by the Founding Fathers. The clues leading to the treasure is the phrase, "The secret lies with Charlotte." While Ben is convinced by the story, his skeptical father Patrick dismisses it as nonsense. So here's the thing. Even if you do say there's a treasure on the back of the Declaration of Independence, this is like a conspiracy thing you're talking about. So this is not something you could ever prove to anyone. But if you get word that some evil people know that this thing is as real as you think it is, you have to go after it yourself because no one else is.
There's a third option that we're not seeing. And that is you tell the authorities, hey, there's some other guy out to steal the Declaration of Independence. That's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as important as I thought it was.
That actually didn't give us any new information.
Well, I'm just trying to
Except
say...
Except that I don't think there is anything at stake.
Yes, there is.
Except that bad people want to be rich.
Yeah, everyone wants to be...
Bad guys get rich?
Look... I think if you have the means to save something, you should. And if no one's going to believe you, you got to. I mean, why don't you guys want to have adventure? What's your problem?
I'm up for that. I just don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I'm the person that should be doing this. Same with the podcast. It's like someone else, they should come on. But shit, no one else is okay. If it's, I love it. I'm honored. I just don't think I should be the one touching the declaration. If no one else is, I'll do it.
All right. Final.
I like that.
Let's
final answers.
Final answers.
I know we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, you go first.
Okay. I'm stealing it.
Yeah, I'm stealing it too because I feel like I have an upper hand and I get what's going on and no one's believing me and it's up to me because I've already tried to tell people that someone's going to steal it. No one believes me.
Yeah.
Right.
Michael?
But I mean, you've dedicated your life to this too. At a certain point, I need to ask, like, what am I doing so that this is like, I have to do this? Where it's like, nothing else? There wasn't any other career path that you thought maybe?
You're like, what part did I play in ending up here? This is a great question. And
well, you're Ben Gates.
Maybe related to John Wilkes Booth. We don't want to get into it.
No, don't, Michael. Stop. That's a sore subject. Stop.
So, I probably, I mean, look, again, it's like, there's probably someone better, but if there isn't, okay, here we go. Well, I guess we're doing this today.
I mean, it looks like we're stealing the Declaration of Independence.
This would be a fun team, though. Here's the question, too. If it was on me and someone was just like, hey, do you want, like, no one else, you want to do this? I'd be like, probably not. I don't think so. If you guys came to me after 10 years and were like, hey, we want to steal the Declaration of Independence. There's a thing in here and bad guys are coming for it. And I said, and we checked with authorities and they think you're crazy. And you said yes. And I'd say, okay, let's do it.
Wow. That's so nice to hear. That's nice to know that there's someone ready to, because I can see you, Michael. I'm closing my eyes and you're driving the van.
Shoot, I'm a bad driver.
You are?
I'd rather be writing next to the
person. Okay, you're
doing
on the computer in the passenger seat.
Thanks.
Maria, great. I think you're probably the best driver, Maria.
I don't want to be. Maybe there's one more person. Maybe we
can bring in multiple people.
Oh, Craig. Yeah, we'll have your boyfriend,
Craig.
Craig
would be the best driver.
Craig's a good driver.
He'd be the best driver. Okay, then you're in the passenger seat, and then I'm in the back. And then Amanda's inside somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm the declaration. You're in your gown.
Oh no,
Amanda,
I dress
and
up.
You're at the ball.
Oh yeah, I'm the honey trap. So I walk in and in heels and a high waisted skirt and glasses and disheveled hair with a bunch of papers and I pull the guard aside and I say, I'm working on a research paper. Do you think you could help me? And then I'm getting my doctorate in history and I drop my papers.
And then I go behind you because I'm in all black. I'm dressed like a cat burglar. And so when you drop your papers, I kind of go against the wall and I go into the, you know, vault or wherever I need to go.
Wow.
Michael's on the roof.
Whatever you need. Sure. I feel like I'm the person on the team who is like, you play goalie. And it's like, but this is football. And it's like, all right, just you go up on the roof.
You're the wild card. You're anywhere we need you to be.
Guys, I just want to mention that I'm so far from the car. I'm worried. Yeah, buddy, but you'll get up there and you'll be good.
Whatever.
Okay. I'm happy to do it. I'll do it. I trust you.
It's happening. Okay. Well, now we have to transition into our Dear Big Ones, which is a listener email.
Sure.
Okay. Dear Big Ones. Of course. Recently, my friend Michael has begun to feel insecure about his relationship since he can be needy, and his girlfriend Gina isn't a very reliable communicator. Just today, Gina tweeted that she kissed a friend of hers while hiking and alluded to having feelings for him. Michael knows that she went on the hike but isn't on Twitter and has no idea what happened. He texted me today about how he's feeling jealous that she would visit this friend during quarantine, but he said he knows it's irrational and that he feels bad for being needy. Should I tell Michael what happened? I don't want to cause trouble for them since me and Gina have always gotten along, and I'm clinging to the hope that I misread the tweet. On the other hand, I can't stand to see my friend blaming himself for feeling jealous. Love the podcast, Mr. Sexy.
Oh. Well, I was totally supportive of this friend until the name tag, and maybe that's an appropriate one. That just threw me for, it was such a sensitive guy, and then it was like, Mr. Sexy. Oh, okay.
Mr. Sexy.
On.
Well, you can be sexy and sensitive.
I love that. I love that for him.
Sexy-tive.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I think, first of all, what threw me, honestly, I was like, you've got to tell him, of course. And then when they said, maybe I misread the text, that was a red flag for me because I go, well, wait a minute. You need to be sure. That's right. Number one. Reread that text 5 times.
Of course. But it's Twitter. You saw it on Twitter.
Right. It's a public thing.
Yeah, which is so weird, which, I mean, maybe she was joking, but because that would be insane to post.
Let's just say, hypothetically, Gina on her tweet wrote, "Oh my God, kissed my best friend today on the trail. What am I thinking?" Okay. Let's just say that was a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know if that's for real or if it's a joke or whatever, but you're reading it and it's there and you know that your friend has questions about the relationship. I think you have to say something.
Yeah, I think you have to say something.
I absolutely think you need to confirm, like, hey, there's something there. I mean, what a horrible response if someone's like, I'm really insecure. I feel like there's something going on. Being like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. You just screenshot.
Yeah, man, you're not
screenshot.
Wrong. You're not wrong.
I think
but if you know something, you got to say something.
I think so, too. And I think what you do is you say, you send your friend a text or, you know, and just say, I don't know what the context of this was. But like, I, you know, just because of what you've said to me in the past, I wanted to make sure you've seen this.
And I would call. I wouldn't text.
Okay, call. That's good. Yeah.
But you're friends with Gina. And so could that, you ask true. Without raising a red flag, could you ask Gina? Could you go, hey, is this something? Is this a joke?
That's an interesting point that you could go to Gina. But I think that they get along with Gina, but they're better friends with the guy.
Bros before hoes. You know what I mean?
What do you know, too? If you have facts and you have information, as people say, if you have receipts, you bring them. And you say, buddy, mm-hmm. I hate to be
That's
the one
right.
to do this. But here's what I know. And I know you mentioned to me you were insecure or unsure about this thing. And I think it's just worth confronting Gina about.
Because also, can I just say that if the tweet was meant as nothing, then Gina has nothing to feel bad about. And Gina can say, this is ridiculous. So then you're not in the wrong. You're just bringing something to his attention, right? Because if they didn't mean anything, then Gina didn't do anything wrong. And then you can go, right. Ooh, my bad. I'm sorry.
And I have to say, I understand being hesitant, though, because who in their right mind wants to get in the middle of someone's relationship drama? Like, those are actually good instincts that you're thinking before you bring this up. However, because of your friend has confided in you, I think that lays the groundwork yeah. where it's totally appropriate for you to say something. I mean, if you didn't really know them or you've never heard anything about their relationship, I think you would just like stay out of it.
But this is a good friend. This is a good friend. And you
and
saw
the
something
doesn't
that
have
made
Twitter. Sorry.
That's right.
I just want to mention. It's one thing if he has it.
That's true. And
that's
the friend
right.
doesn't
he
have
doesn't
Twitter.
Know what's going on.
It doesn't mean he's not looking at Twitter.
Oh, okay. That's
you know what I'm saying?
Weird. Maybe.
Yeah, anyone who looks at Twitter when they don't have Twitter that's a red flag.
Who's constantly checking on someone on Twitter who doesn't have it.
I like, think that's
buddy,
possible.
You just got to get it.
It is
definitely
possible.
Possible. But it raises a red flag. Just like if my friend's girlfriend was like, ha ha, love kissing my friend on the hike today. I'd be yeah. like, hey, one, she might have said this, but also, what are you doing with what? I don't understand.
I know. Why is she airing this on Twitter? Who, what is that?
I have more questions about why you're choosing this person, maybe, which is also an ugly conversation you shouldn't get into with friends.
Yeah, definitely
like,
not
hey,
that
what was that about? I thought that was weird. Yeah. I think you can definitely say that. Hey, did you see that tweet? Well, that was funny, right?
Yeah. Is it something I need to know?
Yeah. Was this meant to be funny? You know,
what am I missing here?
Right.
Yeah, that's good, Amanda.
There you go. You're bringing
your coffin emoji. What a horrible position to be in.
Sorry, I know that's rough.
Yes, I am sorry too.
Well, Michael, this has been so much fun. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I hope that I was at all. I hope I did this right.
I mean,
you did great.
You did as good as anyone.
I hope you guys had a good time.
We had a great time.
I think this is delightful.
This is business as usual. Thank
you. Yeah.
Well,
just another Wednesday. It's Thursday.
It's rough, though.
It's Thursday.
It's just another, you know what day it is. I don't need to say it because you all know. But I do think what you guys do is very important because people say, you know, not to judge. And I strongly disagree. And I think these times are a sign of that. I think we need to judge with kindness. And I think we need to morally judge often because if you don't, you get too far down the line. And then it's like, I thought we were past this point in humanity, but we got to teach some people again, just get them some basic, you know, kindness, morality books.
Talk it out.
More judges, more nice judges.
Yeah.
Judge your friends.
More nice judges.
Yeah,
judge
I like them, that.
Judge
nice,
them with kindness.
Nice judges. That's great.
Where, Michael, do you want people to follow you anywhere or do anything? I know you make wonderful pens. Do you want people to be able to look at those? They are. They're beautiful. He like whittles pens.
Thanks. Not really. I like craft. I think the things that I enjoy doing take so long, and it takes so long to bring something in a film or a project to fruition that it's like sometimes in the off hours, it's like I made a pen. And that feels really nice.
Oh, yes.
And during the mudslides, with Santa Barbara had a lot of fires and mudslides. So I was taking the pens and I was turning them into, I was taking the pieces of wood and the disaster wood and making pens out of them and bringing the profits to charity and
that's
stuff
so
like that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It was just a way, only because I can't feel right about selling something that I make. And it's like, when people are like, hey, man, I can't wait to buy that from you. What does it cost? It's like, not enough, probably. Like, the amount that you want to spend, it's not worth my time to do. So let me just charge it to charity. We'll make it nice.
Charge it to charity.
Give it away.
Charge it to charity, then, baby. I ain't dealing with it.
Because I'm already busy enough. Like, I don't have time to run, like, a... Like, Michael, if you want anyone to check out your pens, where do they go? Not really. You can. It's for fun.
Now, you're a filmmaker, though. What about anything people...
I make crafts. I just need to make stuff first. And I'm really lucky to be able to work on a TV show with my family and write and edit and just get boot camp training.
Oh, yeah, that's
but it's
cool.
Like, we'll just see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm just kind of in the... yeah, whittling part. But even the news, they didn't know what to say when they did like the charity thing. So it just said craftsman.
Pen maker.
Craftsman,
is that what they
craftsman.
Said?
Yeah, and I love that title.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Just your local
that's
craftsman.
Nice.
Yeah, you need any pens? Fancy pens? I'm your guy.
I think that's great. But they can follow you on Instagram, right? At MB Chime.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm rarely on it. I'll try to post more pen pictures for all my fans out there. But yeah,
I'm just saying you make beautiful pens that I've seen and you post them. And so I was just saying, is that something that like people you want people to know about? If you don't,
I would love them to know about it. I don't think they need to.
They know about it now. Okay.
And thank you guys for knowing.
They know.
And check out my pens. And I'm making knife handles now. It's for fun. But if too many people ask me, I'll make it a charity thing, which sounds weird, but knives for charity.
Great.
I'm open to all those things. I'm not too good. I don't know what I'm like posting, and that's a different big one. I have very little to say. People don't care about my opinion. You know, it's just like, I don't need to be on any social media platforms.
Yeah, I've gone through that. But you know what? People like to see just mundane pictures of your life. It's a little lift throughout the day. So that's what I use
it's
my
Instagram
for. It's
different for you guys. It's different for you guys because you have a following and people are listening and watching and wanting more. For me, it's like, who am I posting to?
You're a pen.
I'm okay.
You're posting to your pen fans.
Yeah, your pen pals. Are you kidding? Michael's pen pal.
Where my pen pal's at? Can I get a like from my pen pals? Another pen coming at you hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. I'll start posting some pens for you guys.
Hell yeah.
For all you fans out there.
All right. Yeah. You can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at thebigonespod on Twitter. Please join our Patreon for as little as, I guess, $3 a month, but I think you might still be able to get it for $1 a month. And please rate and review. Michael, thank you so much for being on. This was so wonderful. And
and what a treat, just as a fan, to be watching this and seeing how the cookie gets crumbled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know the old
saying. Cookie crumbles.
Yep. It's a delight. So thank you both.
Thank you for doing this.
Let me apologize to the listeners as well. You made it through... I'm sorry.
They like this because they hear this and they go, well, I could be next.
Exactly. A Charlie Bucket situation.
Yes. You got the golden ticket. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening to
The Big One.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.